Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, South Africa's citrus industry is one of the biggest in the world. Bet you didn't know that. Employing something in the region of 140,000 people and obviously contributing significantly to our economy. But getting our fruit from farms to international markets, I read, is becoming a bigger challenge due to inefficiencies at ports and also on the rail network. Now, following President Ramaphosa's recent State of the Nation address, the Citrus Growers Association is now calling for urgent action to ensure that promised reforms, particularly in Transnet and the broader logistics sector, are actually implemented. I'm in conversation now with Justin Chadwick, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Citrus Growers Association of South Africa. Justin, a very warm welcome to you. Maybe before we talk about the problems, I've just mentioned how crucial the citrus industry is to our economy. Give me an idea of size, impact, and importance as far as international trade is concerned.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy, and thanks for having me on the show. The citrus industry employs, as you mentioned, about 140,000 people and generates sort of 30 billion in foreign exchange earnings. In terms of exports, we export to 120 countries around the world, so it's very diversified. And it's the second biggest exporter in the world after Spain, and the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's got a critical mass, and a lot of people depend on the industry.
Now, the President highlighting Transnet reforms and public-private partnership in the State of the Nation address, but we've heard this before. From your industry's perspective, how urgent is it becoming for real logistics improvements, and what would those entail?
No, extremely urgent, Jeremy. So the size of the industry now in terms of cartons, 15-kilogram cartons, is 165 million cartons. We anticipate that can go up to 260 million cartons in the space of the next 7 years or so until 2032. And to do that, we need efficient logistics. The exporting game, you need road and rail to work, and you need the ports to work. So it's becoming more and more important. And, you know, the discussion around port reform and improvements have been going on for many years. I guess the positive is that it's still being discussed. The negative is that there's no real improvement. And we firmly believe that the private sector involvement in the ports is essential to bring in the needed investment in infrastructure and equipment, particularly in the Durban port, which is where most of our fruit moves through. I'm actually sitting at the Durban port at the moment, looking across at the cranes, etc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got amazing management in the ports, in Durban port. We know all the people that are trying to make it work, but they simply do not have the tools to do the job efficiently. And if we're going to achieve those 260 million cartons and generate another 100,000 jobs and another sort of 20 billion in foreign exchange earnings, then these ports and the rail, etc., has to work.
Right now, what is this inefficiency costing the industry?
Yeah, we're looking at numbers. It's upwards of a billion rand a year in terms of what the delays are causing. We've actually just asked the Bureau of Food and Agriculture Policy to do a study for us, which they haven't completed yet, and then we'll have a better idea of exactly the cost to the industry. But it's not small; it's an extremely big number.
You've spoken to me about taking some encouragement regarding commitment, although not a lot is happening. But we also know government has committed to allowing private operators onto the rail network. Obviously, this would have a positive impact, I imagine. But you're going to wait a while before you see changes, I think.
Yeah, these processes aren't small. You know, government needs to go through the correct procedures in terms of, awarding tenders or awarding joint venture partnerships, etc. So we understand that. In the ports, we were told that the private sector was the JV was concluded last year and would start in April. Now we know through various legal problems that's been delayed. It is very encouraging to see the rail network statement and the intent to bring in private sector into the rail environment. And, you know, that might move a bit quicker. It's really essential. I don't know how many times, Jeremy, you've driven between Johannesburg and Durban, but it's really a conveyor belt of trucks in the inside lane. It's really dangerous, not only for the truck drivers, but for other road users. And we really need a lot of that cargo taken off the road and put onto rail, which is far more efficient.
When you raise these frustrations with government, with whom you're ever talking to, are you getting a sense that you're being heard?
I think we're being heard, and I think they understand the problems. I think the solutions aren't so easy and aren't so clear. And, you know, we do hear of ideas that sound really, really good, but it's implementation that seems to be the problem. You know, as I say, with the JV on Durban Pier 2 at the Durban port was really encouraging, and but now it's being held back. So yes, we do try and ensure that we engage with the ministers and with the high level people, but we've yet to see a whole deal of action.
But you would be concerned when you see reports saying that Transnet needs more financial assistance from government, in other words, a bailout.
Definitely. I mean, funding is at the key of the problem. As I said earlier, if you have a look at the equipment in the ports, specifically Durban port and probably Cape Town port as well, the equipment's seriously aged and it hasn't been maintained adequately, etc. So you see, I think if I remember my figures correctly, they're meant to be like 120 cranes operating in Durban, and there's something like 50. The rest are not working. So definitely, that's money to fix all of that we need. And I don't know if bailouts are the best way. There are other alternatives like the private sector participation.
When we have these delays and log jams, as you've pointed out to me, Justin, is there a lot of wastage? Do you have to discard fruit?
We're quite fortunate in the citrus industry in that the citrus industry is quite the oranges and lemons and grapefruit and mandarins are actually quite a resilient fruit. You know, they're not that perishable. So in effect, we can store the fruit a little bit longer than say table grapes and berries. They're the ones that really suffer. If they have a week delay, I mean, that's disastrous for those highly perishable products, plums, peaches, etc. as well. For citrus, we it's a bit more, we get a bit longer period before it really starts impacting on the quality of the fruit.
But there comes a point where those warehouses become full and there's new product coming down the supply chain.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. Congestion in the port, but then also timing in the market. You know, if you miss a week because of shipping delays or whatever, that week's worth of sales isn't recovered later. So that's the real a big problem. It's a big problem for us towards the end of the 2024 season when a number of vessels were delayed and we had a few weeks when there was short supply in the market, and then suddenly this huge volume arrives in the market and then the price crashes. So it's all about market dynamics and being able to ratably supply into the market so that the consumer has fruit available the whole time and the price doesn't fluctuate all over the place.
Well, at some point we'll circle back and see what sort of progress is being made. Justin Chadwick, thank you very much indeed, the Chief Executive Officer of the Citrus Growers Association of Southern Africa.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.